says a body and what that means. What does it mean to be a body? Years ago, Chuck Colson wrote a book about the church, and he called the book The Body. So there happens to be a really good passage of Scripture that talks about the body of Christ, and we're going to look at that today. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you know anything about Corinthians, in both 1 and 2 Corinthians, you'll know that the Corinthian church was a little bit of a problem child for Paul. They had a lot of problems. Mostly the problems were involved divisions, but in some cases they involved misunderstandings of how things worked. And so Paul actually wrote, I think he wrote four letters that we know of to the Corinthian church, but the Holy Spirit has saw it fit that two of them were kept for us today. And it's kind of neat that we can look at the Corinthian church and say, man, those people had some real serious problems. But the fact of the matter is, every church has its problems, every church goes through things, and if it wasn't for the problems of the Corinthian church, we wouldn't have these kind of words for us today. Just to kind of give you a background behind the Corinthian church, Corinth was in what is now known as modern-day Greece, right between the mainland of Greece and what they call the Peloponnesian Peninsula. And there's this little isthmus with a sea on one side and a sea on the other side, and that's where Corinth is. And so Corinth was actually destroyed, I think, in 150 B.C., and then the Romans came in and set up a new colony there right around 44 B.C. So this colony was only 70 or so years old when Paul preached there initially. And so now he is on his third missionary journey, and Paul is at Ephesus, and he's kind of looking back over his shoulders, and he's hearing stories about what's going on in Corinth. And because he's ministering so much in Ephesus, he can't really break away to go to Corinth, so he writes them letters. And so that's what we have, these letters for today. One of the things about the Corinthian church, though, that is good is they really excelled in spiritual gifts. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is a passage of Scripture that some churches won't preach on, but we do, and we will today. So with that, let's turn there. I haven't even turned there yet. Okay. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'll be reading out of the English Standard Version. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand, no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For no one, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge, to another the same Spirit according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by the one and same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all are made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that does not make it any less a part of the body. If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? Where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would there be the sense of smell? But it is God who arranges the members in the body, each one of them, as he chooses. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor can the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greatest honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then various gifts, then gifts of healing, helps, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a more excellent way. Let's pray. Father, as we enter into your word, Lord God, I just pray that you would bless us with just the ability to understand what you're trying to say to us today. Father God, use me as your vessel. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit today. We're talking about the body, what the body is all about. And when we look at the gifts of the Spirit, sometimes there's misunderstandings. Even to this day, there are misunderstandings of the gifts of the Spirit. Some churches will say, these passed away with the apostles. And they'll actually use some scriptures to try to justify that. But it's not the case. Because on the day of Pentecost, we remember that Peter said, what you see here is for not just for this generation, for as many as afar off, as many as the Lord himself will call. And we are being called to God to this day. So these gifts are available to us today. The gifts of the Spirit basically are gifts that are given to us by the Holy Spirit, which we are to use to strengthen the church. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So they're not for us as individuals. To even get the gift, we have to be connected to God. And God has given us the gift so that we can use that to bless the body of Christ. And, you know, I think sometimes we get this concept that, you know, okay, I got the gift of healing, so I'm going to put a sign in front of my house, Paul Dykeshorn International Healing Ministries. That's not what it's all about. The idea is to bless the body, to bless the church. And that's why God has given us these gifts. If I operate in a gift, I bless the church. If I don't operate in that gift, I'm not blessing the church with that gift. So what are the gifts Paul's speaking about? Well, in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, it says this, for the one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. What is wisdom? Well, it's a supernatural wisdom. You know, there's some people out there that are very wise people. But there's some times where there's a circumstance that comes up and somebody has a word of wisdom for what to do about that situation. I remember years ago I was involved in a church when I was in college, and they were trying to build a building and it was financially tight, and they were trying to support three people on staff. And this one elderly lady in the congregation said, I have a word of wisdom for the body. And what she said, the elders followed, and everything fell into place. And she got that word from the Lord. To another is given the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. And this is probably one we hear of a little bit more often, where somebody has a word of knowledge. Kirk Martin was telling me when he got saved up in Alaska, he was going to the C Street Mission, and he said there was a woman in that church that was used very effectively in the word of knowledge. He found out about it because when he and Ruth first came to the Lord, they weren't married, but they were posing as a married couple. And the woman called them out and said, you know what, the Lord told me that you guys aren't actually married. And it's like, wow. But what came of that was they did get married. They solidified things in that respect with serving God, even though they had just gotten saved. They solidified that, and it caused them to press into the things of God all the more. So it turned into a good thing, even though at the time it might have seemed kind of rude. But I mean, hey, you know, it's kind of how things work. To another, faith by the same Spirit. You know, there are times where supernatural faith is required. And there's times where people will rise up in a supernatural aspect of faith. I remember talking to a fellow pastor of mine, a friend of mine who's also a pastor, and he was talking about this one woman that he had met. And he said, Paul, you wouldn't believe this woman. Her faith is amazing. And so in some situations will come up where God will give us supernatural faith in a circumstance or situation. To another, gifts of healing by one Spirit. I believe everybody should pray for everybody for healing. But there are people who are given supernatural gifts of healing who will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. To another, the working of miracles. This is another one that is just kind of like, wow, how does this all work? But there are times where a miracle is needed, and somebody has that gift, and the Spirit administers a miracle through that person. To another, prophecy. This is probably one in the church we see the most often. We give opportunity for prophetic words to be given here at the church, and God has given some people the ability to speak on his behalf to the congregation. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. You know, it's interesting, but some people have a supernatural gift of discernment of spirits where they can actually see what's going on spiritually. I remember one time when I was pastoring at Alliance Christian Center, this woman who was used in the gift of discernment of spirits came up to me and said, there's a guy that just walked in here and has three demons on his back. And I'm like, they're not going to stay long. They're going to get out of here. Don't worry about it. Okay, but that's important. It's important because sometimes people will speak out of a different spirit. You know, there are people out there that, you know, the Apostle Paul had to deal with this, where he's trying to minister the gospel and this slave girl is falling around, you know, saying things, and it was a little bit disruptive, so he cast the demon out of her. Okay, to another, various kinds of tongues. Now, we have tongues that we receive when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit that is available to all of us. But some people have that supernatural gift. It's a prophetic gift of tongues where it needs to be interpreted. And that is the tongues you'll hear in the congregation. The tongues that we get when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's just for our own use, to build up our own faith. So, you know, when you're driving in the car and you need some build up of faith, you know, pray in tongues. Or, you know, before you pray in English, if you need to build up your own faith, pray in tongues. But the tongues we hear in church, that needs to be interpreted, and that's actually dealt with later on in 1 Corinthians. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. And then Paul deals with that a little bit later in chapter 14, but if somebody just speaks in tongues and there's no interpretation, we're like, what just happened here? And Paul actually says, you know, the unsaved or the unlearned, meaning people that don't know about this gift, will think, well, you guys are crazy. So an interpretation is necessary when tongues are given in a congregation. And in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11, it says this, all these are empowered by the one and same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So So we don't get to choose what gift we get. We get what we get. But that said, we need to use it for the encouragement of the body, for the strengthening of the body, for the betterment of the whole church. This is not something for ourselves. And even our use of it is orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. So I think it's wrong sometimes that we kind of focus on some gifts rather than others. Like when I was talking to my dad, when I was first baptized in the Holy Spirit, I was talking to my dad a little bit about tongues. And he said, well, I'd like to have the gift of prophecy instead. And it's like, it does say in Scripture, God desires that we would prophesy. So that's not necessarily a bad thing. But the fact of the matter is, we get what we get. The idea, though, is we should desire the spiritual gifts. So my first point in this message is the gifts are given by the Holy Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. It's orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. Don't complain to me if you've got the gift of discernment or something like that. It's God that has given that to you. That said, he does not give us something to put on a shelf, all right? How many ever got, some of you guys might have gotten a power tool, a nice impact drill or something like that, and you put it on your shelf. And, the next time you need to use one, you borrow one from your friend, and your wife says, hey, how come you're not using the one I gave you? Oh, that's too nice. I just want to keep it on a shelf there, It's like tools are meant to be used, right? And it's the same thing with spiritual gifts. They're meant to be used. And at one point, Paul had to actually exhort the person he had mentored, Timothy, to use his gifts. It says in 1 Timothy 4, verse 14, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. So evidently, when Timothy was ordained, they had the presbytery or the group of elders laid hands on him. And at that point, he received a spiritual gift. And so Paul is writing to Timothy here and saying, hey, you need to get this going. As a matter of fact, later on in 2 Timothy 1, verse 6, he says this, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hand. So Paul was involved in that. He remembers laying his hands on Timothy and for this gift being given to him. And now he's exhorting Timothy, use what God has given you. And I would like to say this as far as my second point, whatever gift God has given you, use it for God's glory. Use it for God's glory. And you may say, well, I'm a timid kind of person. I know a woman who is used very effectively in the gift of prophecy. And she's so scared about being used. She's so afraid about and it's like, hey, you know what? We're here for you. We just want to be blessed with whatever gift God has given you. And whatever gift God has given you, use it to his glory. Now, again, the whole context of spiritual gifts is in the body of Christ. The whole context is talking about the church as a body. And the purpose of the gifts is to edify or strengthen the body. So in 1 Corinthians 12:12 through 13, it says this, for just as the body is one and has many members, with the members of the body, though many are one body, so it is with Christ. For when one spirit, we're all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we're all made to drink of one spirit. So Paul's addressing here, hey, he knows that there's divisions among them, and he's kind of addressing this. Hey, you know what? No matter what your stature is in society, what your ethnic background is, what your job situation is, we are all made to drink of one spirit. And it says in verse 18, as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. You know, we kind of like to hang out with people who are like us. But that's not what the body of Christ is all about. we need to hang out with people of diversity so that God can be glorified. And when they see our unity in respect of diversity, you know, we're not all a church of one class of people or one income or whatever. When people see that, that actually brings glory to God. So God places the members in the body as he wills. Now, I see a lot of times in newspapers, they say, this Sunday, go to the church of your choice. And I kind of disagree with that. We need to go to the church of God's choice. We need to go to the church that God has chosen for us. I remember when I first came to Ohio from New York, I was looking for a church. And so I was visiting all these different churches. And I visited Alliance Christian Center. And right away, I'm like, oh, this is a good second choice. If anything else, it's a great second choice. It had everything. I mean, the worship was phenomenal. The teaching was great. At that time, they were kind of preaching a lot on marriage and family. I was single at the time, but I thought, well, I'm going to take notes anyway. I expect I'll be married someday, so I'll be able to use these notes or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, it didn't matter what I chose because God drew me into the body. God just drew me in the body. I remember there's an activity up in Cleveland, and we all got in this one guy's van, and we went up to hear this speaker from, I think he was from Maryland, speak. And the whole time, the Lord is speaking to my heart through the guy, saying, you need to be committed to the local church. You need to be involved in a local church. You need to be part of a local body. And afterward, I had to talk to the pastor and say, hey, you know what? He was talking to me. So God places the members in the body just as he desires. Now, because we have different giftings and abilities, the flavor of our church is unique. Everybody's mixing, everybody's gifting kind of comes into play, and so the flavor of this church becomes unique. We as a church will be involved in some ministries that other churches won't do because of what God has placed within us. So, you know, we're going to have an outreach. It's going to be involved in giving people items that they need. That is something that our body does. This is what we have here in our mix. Years ago at ACC, we had a couple that were really gifted in doing plays. And so as a church, we always had Christmas, around Christmas, we'd have a play. And we got known in the community. People from the community would... You know, this one pastor was telling me, oh, I love coming to your church for those plays. It's really great and everything. And then that couple moved on, and guess what? We didn't do plays anymore. And it's not my call as the pastor to say, we're going to do this. Because my thing is look at what we've got. What do we have here in the mix? And then my job is to equip you so that that can happen. What do I have to do as a pastor to make your giftings become useful in the body of Christ? So that's really, you know, I don't see it as I'm dictating. Like, I'm not going to come up and say, Tim, you're going to do a prison ministry starting next Tuesday. All right? Because I don't know. That may not be his bent. He may be more in terms of doing something else. Maybe, you know, in terms of hospitality or something like that. But the fact of the matter is, I can't dictate. And it'd be wrong for me to dictate. And some churches try to do it that way. And it's an utter failure. I heard, you know, look at this. I've been around the block a few years, okay? I've seen a few things. And I remember back in the day, some church did this bus ministry and had phenomenal results. And it was because God had shaped that church to be effective in doing that. And all these other churches said, hey, that's what we got to do. And they all went out and bought buses, and it all failed miserably. Because they weren't listening to the Lord. They're just doing to say, what works? Well, that works over there. We're going to do that. And, you know, some churches are led by the book of the Christian book of the month, you know. Ah, this is what God's doing. Oh, no, this is what God's doing. And it's just like every wind of doctrine. That's not how churches should be. We should listen to the Holy Spirit. We need to look at what the Holy Spirit gifted us with and go from there. I'm a little passionate about that. I hope I didn't overdo it. Okay. So where was I? I'm totally off the notes. Okay, so I believe ministry in the church comes from the members that God has placed in the body, not based on the whim of the pastor. So I don't dictate what we do. I just equip you to be effective in what God has gifted you to do. So point three is God places the members in the body, which means, by the way, as more people are added, the flavors can change. And the ministries can grow, and things can, you know, can change. And, you know, that's how it is with us as individuals. We grow, don't we? We don't stay the same. I hope we don't. You know, maybe my hair color has changed badly, but I don't know. I don't mind it. But, I mean, at least it's still somewhat all there. But the idea is we expect change in ourselves. We should expect change within the church. Sometimes people say, I don't like the way the church is headed or whatever. You know, it's just kind of like, hey, let's see what God's going to do. Let's just pray about it and see what God's going to do. So the last thing I want to talk about is the fact that every one of us is needed. Every one of us is needed. I'll tell you something. Even the little guys are needed. When Jane and I came here this morning, we went downstairs, and you could just hear bump, 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 bump. I mean, it's just like there's a herd of elephants up in the auditorium. And it's like, well, I know it's not a herd of elephants. It's the younger members. But they are a blessing to this congregation. And God has even placed them within this congregation. In some respects, they're placed within this congregation for us to minister to for future generations, to impart to them what God has given to us. And so, you know, and I really believe, and I kind of got to get humble here because, you know, sometimes we all deal with pride from time to time. But when we started on this journey as a church, I was really adamant that I did not want to be tied to a building. I just did not. And everybody was coming to me saying, there's a building for sale here. There's a building for sale there. Here, what about this building? What about this? And I'm thinking, oh, I don't want a building. I just want to meet somewhere. I don't want to be tied down to a building. But then I'm watching as we were meeting at the Korean church. I'm watching all our kids are running around. I'm like, oh, watch out for that. Oh, watch out for that. Why? Because it was somebody else's stuff. Now that we're here, it's like, I don't care. Let them run around. Because it's our stuff. I mean, I don't want them to get hurt. Okay, I don't want them to get hurt. But it's our stuff. And I guess that's how God has shaped us. And so that's okay. That's okay. If some kid throws up on the floor, you know, it's like, hey, it's our floor. We'll just fix it later on or whatever. All right. So 1 Corinthians 12, verse 20. As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor can the head to the feet, I have no need of you. You are needed. You are needed. You know, the physical body cannot operate effectively if all the parts aren't active. All right? I went to Ghana, West Africa, with Johnny Erickson Tata. Johnny Erickson Tata is a quadriplegic, which means she has absolutely no use of her legs and only limited use of her arms. Her hands don't even work. They attach things to her hands, and she can actually feed herself. She can actually drive. I've never ridden with her. I don't have the gift of faith. I should say that. She's a wonderful girl. One time she got a ticket. She was going down a one-way, you know, anyway. I shouldn't even say that. But, I mean, she's a human being. But, oh, my goodness, her mobility comes from a wheelchair. Her legs don't work. And she has limited use of her arms. I know a guy that's missing one of his hands. And he has a mechanical hand that is very limited in what it can do. It can't do what the hand that God had given him could do. And So that's how it is in the body of Christ. We need each part. We even need the little guys. We got young people active and involved in this church. I love the fact that our young people are active and involved in this church. They are doing stuff. They're making a contribution. That is such a huge deal. I was really excited last week to have Jackson on the drums. I mean, it's like, wow. Now, there's a dimension that I'd like to see. But right now, that's where we're at. That's where we're at. But the fact of the matter is, if he was coming here and he wasn't playing the drums, there'd be a lack. There'd be something wrong with that. So in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 22, it says, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those parts of the body that we think are less honorable, we bestow greater honor. And our presentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked that, that lacked it. Just because somebody seems more honorable than others doesn't mean that we dishonor somebody who seems less. And like, for instance, like the kids. Just because they're small doesn't mean we dishonor them. Just because somebody is financially in trying circumstance don't mean we dishonor them. We give the same honor. And it, as it turns out, some of the people that may seem the less, I don't know, you know, the less likely, we can be surprised with. I was in a Bible study one time, and there's a lady who is from West Virginia. I think she got to eighth grade, and she was very simple. But in that Bible study, she would come off with some of the most profound spiritual truths because she was hearing from God. Now, looking at her from the outside, oh, yeah, well, we'll discount her because of where she's from or her education background or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, God uses us all. And we are all needed, every one of us. You know, I look down on my feet. You know, feet are probably the ugliest part of your body, right? You know, that's what we keep them covered up. I bet you you'd be offended right now if I took off my shoes and socks. Murphy's like, do it, go. Actually, Mervin, years ago, I did take off my shoes in church one time to make a point. I'll tell you about it sometime. But anyway, it was fun. But anyway, just think of, you know, if you didn't have feet, how would you stand up? So we need our feet, we need our hands, we need our eyes, we need our ears, we need every part of the body functioning. Is one part more important than others? I mean, people get by without their eyes. People get by without hearing. People get by without being able to walk. But that said, it's nice to have all the members functioning. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25 says this, that there be no division in the body, but the members have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. So as a church, we go through joys together, we go through sorrows together. That's what it means to be a body. The bottom line, though, is that every member is needed. And that's my fourth point in the message. Every member is needed. So think about what God has put in you, whether it's a spiritual gift, natural ability, or whatever. Are you using that to God's glory? And if not, what are some steps you can take? Just, you know, baby steps. Don't think, you know, maybe you're a drummer and you're like, well, I'll get up there tomorrow, but I haven't played in 30 years. Well, you know, maybe warm up a little bit or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, whatever God has given you, like Paul said to Timothy, fan it in the flame. Maybe it's just I haven't been using that for so long. It's just like a glowing ember. It's just ready to go out. Well, just fan it in the flame. Ryan, remember Boy Scouts getting that fire going? Fan it in the flame. He loves loves gasoline. All right, stand with me if you will. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father God, we thank you that all of us are equal. Every one of us has been placed in this body for a reason, for a purpose, for a part. So, Lord, I just pray you show us how to be effective in your body, what we should be doing, and what we should do to glorify you. Father God, I just pray that you encourage us, strengthen us throughout this day. Help us be a blessing to the kingdom of heaven this week, Lord God. We just pray for a sensitivity to your spirit and a heart that is available to whatever you would have us do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.